I would like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, January 22nd, 2018. As has been our tradition for many years, I would like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council by reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is approval for the minutes of the executive session of January 8th.
Motion to approve, Mayor.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Boyce to approve the executive session minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Please let the record show that decision was 4-0-4 and that Councilmember Purnell is absent. Okay, second is the approval of the statement of closure for executive session for January 8th.
Motion to approve.
Have a motion by
Councilman
Britton. Yeah, got too many things on my mind.
Good this morning.
All in favor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? 4-0. And basically these the same two or three that have applied for almost all executive sessions. One is to discuss the employment, assignment, resignation, so forth, of employees or appointees of the town or other personnel matters. The second was to consult with our legal counsel or legal advice. The third was to, before a contract is awarded or bids are open, to discuss a matter directly related to a negotiating strategy of the contents of the bid proposal. Okay. Next is the approval of the regular session minutes of January 8th.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Goyes to approve the regular session minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you very much. One thing I want to mention before we get into the rest of the agenda is we have set this up by necessity. This is not for everyone to sign just because you came to the meeting, but we've set up a sign-up sheet for anyone who wishes to address the council, whether as part of the agenda or just because you come with a concern or question. The reason is we've always asked people to identify themselves, but sometimes, and everything's recorded, obviously, on recording, and Kelsey certainly listens, but sometimes people are not as clear because they're very involved in what they want to propose, which is understandable. So we're just trying to make sure that we have a record, in some cases, that we can get back to you if we have a follow-up. And it's still a small town, thank goodness, and we know a lot of people, but we don't know everyone. And fortunately, we're growing so that more and more people who come before us are folks that we're sometimes meeting for the first time. So if you're planning to address the council, it's not a law, but we just ask as a courtesy if you'll sign it, and so we can make sure we can get back to you and we've got the right name and address attributed to whatever comments you want to make. It's not to create censorship. It's to create a verification so we can know who's talking to us and how we can get back to you whatever whatever we can services we can provide. Okay, next is the 150th logo, Berlin anniversary logo winner, and Ivy, are you going to talk about this?
Yeah.
How many entries do you get? Just tell us a little bit.
Good evening, Mayor and Councils. We got 31 entries, which was spectacular. I extended the deadline because the original deadline was set around the holiday, so I extended it through January 12th, and from that time I received about 10 to 15 new entries for that. And I had a panel, and we went through all the entries, and several people picked their top three or their top five. This particular one happened to end up in a variety of the top three and top 10, and then presented it to Laura, and then ultimately presented it to the mayor, and he chose this winning logo. There was a few modifications made, but I'm happy to announce that the winner was, and this was completely anonymous, each logo just had a letter attached to it, and you would have to say
either
A, B, or C. No one knew who the artist was, and the winner was Todd Jones Perryman, and he gave me a little bio.
Was it Perryman, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, Perryman. So we're getting his name right.
Perryman.
That should be in newspapers.
Yes, Perryman. And he gave me a bio. I'm going to just take a moment to read it. He says, I grew up in Salisbury and majored in art / graphic design at Salisbury State University, 2001 graduate. I was a graphic designer before leaving to practice intellectual property law and now teach for Montgomery County Public Schools. I have deep roots in Berlin. All of my family for generations are from Berlin. Both my parents were born and raised in Berlin and Worcester County. I'm the grandson of Judge Daniel T. Prettyman and the great-grandson of Ms. Anna Burbage, founder of the Burbage Funeral Home. I'm an avid supporter of arts and entertainment in Berlin and Worcester County.
Cool.
So what we plan to do with this logo, we'll have it on all of our banners, and we'll have some T-shirts and maybe some koozies, some giveaways with the logo on it, and then we're also planning a 150th celebration at the same time as Oktoberfest, and that'll happen on Artisan's Green, where we do the third Thursday lunchtime concert. So that's going to be in October.
So it'd be basically something that any of the events, I think our hope is that each event can decide, we'll certainly have this available, mm-hmm. and we'll make sure that it's posted in some way at each event in an appropriate way, mm-hmm. but how it is recognized at each event is up to each event.
Correct.
Not sponsor so much as the organizing committee, group, or organization, mm-hmm. and in that way it's giving maximum flexibility. It becomes a community celebration, not just everything packed into one, because we do have many opportunities to celebrate to many different
yes.
audiences and groups. And I think we'll just see how it goes. This is a good first start, and gives it. I think it's important because one of the things that I know myself, when you reduce it, you can still tell immediately what it is.
He sent me a variety of files. It could be even a black and white file, so it's easily transferable.
Good.
Even on a giant banner, it'll also be on the new billboard out on Route 50.
Thank you. All right, so next is a presentation by Worcester Youth and Family by Executive Director Stephen Taylor.
Thank you. Good evening. Thank you for having me. My name is Steve Taylor. I'm the Executive Director of Worcester Youth and Family Counseling Service. And I was expecting a staff member who may show up here any minute. She's our new Youth Program Coordinator. Her name is Austin Picaretta, and I don't believe all of you have met her yet. You may remember Amanda, who was here with me last time, who is now a clinician at our agency. So she's changing her career a little bit from youth programs to providing mental health counseling and doing quite well and loving that change. And so we're happy for her, but we're also happy to have Austin on board, who has experience in working with youth groups in New Jersey. So she moved down to the area with her husband, who took a position here, and so we're enjoying having her on the team. I do want to add, I like the Berlin logo a lot. My great-grandfather was here about that time, living on Ayers Creek, but he still said that Berlin was so far away that he had to pack a lunch to go there. So space and time is very relative when you start talking about the old days. So, yeah, he was a bit of a character anyway. So I have this fancy thing here that should work. There it goes. So Worcester Youth and Family, as you know, provides youth programs and activities for kids age 6 through 14. Sometimes we stretch it to 15. It really depends on grade and maturity and things like that. And we do a variety of things with them that are going to help promote their self-esteem, give them experiences that they might not experience otherwise, foster team building, and give them the confidence that they need to have a bright and promising future. All communities, their strength is dependent upon the investment in youth and their own community. So if we want our businesses and our social atmosphere to be as strong as it can be, we need to invest in our children, and that's exactly what we do. Listed here are some activities that we did back in July, and this is a time sequence, this presentation, so you'll see July, August, and continuing through today. As always, we partner with as many organizations as we can, and so when we went to Jolly Rogers, we partnered with the police department, as we have in the past, and they hosted that event, and it's good for the kids to have some experiences with local police so that communication is always strong and effective. We also took them kayaking on Ayers Creek and practiced with them some team building exercises, again, for the reasons I mentioned before. And you can see the list there, bowling and roller skating and rock wall climbing. A lot of the kids were, as you might imagine, afraid to climb the rock wall, but they all gained the courage to do that, and so it was quite exciting for them. We teach safety, we teach looking out for others, teamwork. That's involved in a lot of games. We played bowling games so that built on teamwork exercises and team building, positive encouragement. It also helped with not only the bowling, but all of these activities helped with coping skills and anger management, something that young people struggle with today. Because they can't find the words to express themselves, their emotions pour out. We even see that with adults from time to time.
Never here.
Right. So those are the highlights for July. August, a lot of these things you've seen before, but what I want to point out in August is Robin Tomaselli, again, has stepped up to the plate and has offered some healthy cooking programming with the kids. And she's just been a tremendous asset to Worcester Youth and Family because she is so involved and engaged in what we do. She truly cares about these young people and making sure that our community is as strong as it can be. One of the things that surprised the kids with Robin is she helped them make brownies out of beans. So they were reluctant to eat something as healthy as beans. But since they were disguised in brownies, they took a bite and were all surprised that they were as good as they thought they would be. So that was exciting and different. In September, we focused on Fiddler's Convention. We like to partner with the town in many ways, especially in the Chamber of Commerce, to show that our festivals and our events involve families and children. And so we, as you know, set up a table for a lot of the events that are held here in the summer and the fall and give children activities to do. So at Fiddler's Convention, we taught them how to make their own instruments. They made their own fiddles out of basic home goods like paper plates and things like that. They also had the option of making a harmonica or an apple shaker. And so all this is done with things that you can get at home, like paper plates and string and things like that. We have a number of, again, people who help out, volunteers that come from Atlantic General Hospital, and also Miss Helen from the Church Mouse was there lending a helping hand with these kids. As you imagine, I might imagine we're at a table like this and there's no one around, all of a sudden you're consumed by 20 or 30 kids that want to make banjos all at the same time. So it requires a lot of volunteers to help us make that happen. In October, we helped with Oktoberfest, another Main Street event, and the children decorated pumpkins, made sand art. They made pine cone bird feeders where you smear grease or peanut butter and layer that with seeds and then hang them in the yard for the birds. The high school sent over some volunteers for that, and again, AGH provided volunteers for the Oktoberfest event as well. Continuing along in October, The SAGES are the adolescent girls that we work with. These girls are struggling in school socially or sometimes at home. Just kind of depends on the situation. And so one of the activities they did was chalk the walk. And so they go through the town with chalk and they write positive messages on the sidewalk that encourage people to be happy or to show kindness or love. So they're encouraging people who see these writings on the sidewalk to lift their spirits for just a moment, if that's that's what it takes. They also went to the pumpkin patch. It's something that we do year after year. The kids love running through the corn mazes. However, I don't think anything we do is as exciting as a snow day off from school. So even though we have these planned activities, it is important for children to have free time. That is, nothing planned. Just go be a kid and have fun doing it. And so snow days do provide the opportunity for that. In November, we had a Giving Tuesday event. And again, Chief Downing was instrumental in this. And the adolescent kids helped prepare food and take food to people who are homebound and can't get out very easily. And I don't know if you know this, but Chief Downing knows everybody in this town and where they live and how many plates of food they might need.
Wow.
So he took them around, and the kids helped serve and clean up and deliver those meals to people. In December, we participated in the Christmas parade. We've become wiser over the years. We sent our application in right away. And that means we're in the lineup a little bit earlier, and so which means we get out a little bit earlier. So we've become a little wiser over the years, and so we get our application in very early. This year, you know that the theme was peace on earth, and the kids created symbols of a 70s theme with the earth on, kind of centerpiece. And so it was meant to be groovy and peaceful and represent joy. They tie-dyed T-shirts and made peace signs. And we had a lighted ball of the world. I don't know if any of you saw what that actually was, but that's what it was intended to be. So it was, if you got close enough, you could see what it was. And then continue on December, we had a Christmas spirit campaign that was hosted by the Ocean City Young Professionals. 22 children involved in our programs participated in that, and each child was given $100 to shop for themselves, a family member, or a friend for the holidays. And it's truly amazing experience. If any of you have the opportunity to do this in the future, and they've done this a couple years now, these kids, when they get the $100 and go through the store, they're not looking for gifts for themselves. They want to buy gifts for mom, a brother, a sister. It's amazing. You know, a lot of kids who have fewer challenges are more self-centered, I think, is my experience, than kids who don't have as much. When they see others around them sad because they can't have something they want, they have that desire, that strength to try and get it for them. And so we witness that during the Christmas Spirit campaign, and it truly is a good feeling when you see kids that want to care for others. So after the shopping spree, they're treated to breakfast at Outback Steakhouse. And the reason I mention these things is because the activities that we're involved in truly aren't doing those by ourselves. We can't do what we do without all these partners. People like Outback, organizations like Outback, individuals, young professionals from Ocean City Chamber, Robin Tomaselli, the town of Berlin. I mean, the list goes on and on. The police, the list goes on and on. So I can't stress that enough. Continuing in December, we also partnered with Toys for Tots. You've all heard of that program. It's run by the Marine Corps, and they try to make sure that there are toys for everyone. And so we provided over 120 toys to children in our programs through Toys for Tots. We also received a grant from Bless Our Children Fund to provide gifts to adolescents, and in some cases their parents, depending on what the family needs are. We also hosted a dinner at Stevenson United Methodist Church here in town and served, I think, over 60 people for that. In addition to that, the church provided coats and gloves and jackets to many of our families. We also had some community members call us and say, hey, I want to sponsor a family for the holidays. And so we gave them the names and ages and sizes, and they bought pajamas or coats or gloves or toys or whatever that family needed. A couple cases, families wanted to buy bicycles for children. And in one case, we had a high school senior that's going to college and has a scholarship, and he needed a laptop. So a family bought him a laptop for college. So, you know, the giving by this community truly is tremendous, and we couldn't be successful without them. We had a holiday dinner, as I mentioned, at the church, and we served about 60 people. It was more than just a dinner. We had fun crafts and a photo booth for the kids, and so we made it a lot of fun. And they got to make ornaments for their trees and things like that. To my chagrin, they had glitter tattoos. I hate glitter. I have glitter on my clothes. I have glitter in my closet at home. I have glitter everywhere. I do not like glitter. But nevertheless, the kids like glitter, and they had glitter, and they made glitter tattoos. And I mentioned the photo booth. Let's see. In addition, Miss Robin came in again and taught the kids how to make a healthy version of cookie dough. I don't know what that is. I like probably the unhealthy stuff, but nevertheless, they try. You know, the kids are really good about trying things, and so they said that it was really good. Okay. So, what do they say about us?
Does Austin?
Yes, she is.
Austin, come on up here. I want to introduce you. She was trying to hide back there. I was telling you, I think the last time that Amanda was with me, here, sit down. Amanda was with me, that she was really nervous. Well, Austin might be even more nervous.
I'm super nervous.
So, Austin had training today. Where was that? Crownsville?
Crownsville.
So she's had a busy, long day.
Yeah,
thank you for coming.
I got turned around a little bit in the middle of nowhere. And then my GPS gave out. So it was eventful.
But you could find your way home, though.
I found it. I mean, a couple times around.
Thank goodness for GPS.
So. Yes. Well, in the middle of nowhere, kind of. That's good. If it,
we made a very big impression.
Yeah.
You're very proud of it. And it's Austin?
Yes.
Okay. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
So in the first line up there, you can see one of the Sabres boys said, Miss Austin, I like coming here. You always come up with something fun for us to do, and I'm learning stuff too. So again, we try to make it a fun-filled activity environment for them to learn. Miss Austin took them grocery shopping, developed a budget with them, took them grocery shopping. This is the boys, right?
Yes.
The boys. Because they'd never done anything like that before. And so they were shocked at how much things cost, right?
Yeah.
If you don't do it, you don't know. And so they're walking, they talk about the things they want, they develop a budget, and they realize they can't afford a lot of those things. So it's a great exercise, and we'll continue to do that with different groups over the years. Another one said, I like this group. I feel so comfortable here. That was Sage's. It's so important for girls to feel comfortable and welcome. They're not going to open up to you unless you have that trust. And if they're reticent about a relationship, they are just not going to open up. And so what the activities that we do with them help them do that. And so here's evidence of that. A grandmother of one of our BYC girls, Berlin Youth Club girls, wrote, I appreciate Worcester Youth and Family for including my granddaughter in your activities, as I cannot financially provide the things that you are allowing her to experience. Thank you for dinner, the shopping spree, and toys. We are truly grateful. So what could be better than that? I mean, you have someone who's living right here in this community that demonstrates the value of what we provide to the youth here. And in summary, you know, we're developing lifelong memories, and we're teaching them in the process. And they are going to be stronger, more confident, more productive citizens than they would have been, I think, without these programs. So we are changing lives for the better. Community engagement I've talked about, and activities and programs that support Berlin youth, we can't do it without everyone. This program, the investment that we put in, is small compared to the overall investment that the community puts into these programs and these children. And we're leveraging resources. So when others see what someone else is doing, they want to join in. And then when the community is joining what we do, funders, grant funders, see what we do. And they want to fund programs like that because we're engaging the entire community and not focused on our programmatic needs, but focused on community prosperity. And so that gives us tremendous leverage when we go to potential funders to enhance our programs and grow our programs. So I want to thank you. I want to thank Austin for the hard work she's doing and take any questions you might have.
I don't have a question, but I've got a comment.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for your work. Thank you for the work of your organization. And thank you for your leadership. Each year, it is a pleasure for me to hear about all the work you all do. And I just want to wish you much success and continuance, because your services are needed in this community. I know kids that participate in some of your programs, and they always talk positive, and they always have fun, and they even learn some stuff, too. Good stuff. So just keep it up.
Thank you very much. I appreciate those kind words. Thank you.
I see a lot of these kids on a daily basis, in and out of school, and I wonder, you know, when you come here every year, I wonder what these kids would be doing if they were not in these programs.
Right.
So, again, like Dean said, I thank you, and I thank your organization for doing all the things that you do for the youth.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I had the chance during that Giving Tuesday event to really spend some time with the kids and get to hear their experience and how much the program means to them. And thank you for the service you provide. And they're very polite and great young kids.
Yeah, they are very polite. They're very considerate.
I was shocked, like how, not with their level of politeness, but how bright they were and being able to speak about different topics going on in the town and really caring and helping Chief Downing and the rest of the crew there with feeding the people. And it was nice to see.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'd like to echo all their sentiments as well. I tell you, I've had my business here in town since 1985, so I've been able to watch Worcester Youth and Family grow over the years. It's amazing what you have done with the resources that you have available to you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We should all be that successful.
Right.
So continue doing what you're doing. You're doing an excellent job. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
We appreciate very much your call. I guess it's almost like quarterly or three times a year, so that you can keep us up to date.
Sure.
And we very much appreciate that. I would have to say that I think this is a perfect example that charity and volunteering to help others is something that's worked. Mm-hmm. You know, some people, the very fortunate people, may get inspiration from a higher power, and that's wonderful. But I think most people, from my one lifetime of experience, actually have to be given an opportunity, and almost everyone who's given an opportunity not only participates, but I think really grows as an individual and becomes more empathetic to people in need. And ironically, just looking back on it and instructing often those citizens who have less seem to be more appreciative of what they have. Mm-hmm. Because they know it's not given from heaven.
Right.
It's given from a lot of circumstances. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I think that, you know, you are providing an opportunity for these people, you know, these kids who are our future citizens in this community, to learn to basically nurture their individual potential. Because that's another thing. I'm going and watching some of these activities and visiting from time to time when you all invite me in. And it is, kids are inherently, you know, with very few exceptions, they're inherently good. They inherently have a lot more intelligence than they're given credit for.
Mm-hmm.
They're fun-loving, but rather that not every kid has the opportunity to have these qualities be nurtured. And that's what you're doing. And for some of these kids, you know, it's something that they have grown in a way that they might not have another opportunity. And I do think that the idea that this community, the greater community here, actually provides volunteering time and resources and opportunities from all kinds of businesses is a reflection on the kind of community that we are and that we hope to be even better in the future. Mm-hmm. So since you started, some of these kids, they grow up fast.
Yes, they did.
And I ran into one sometime during the holidays. Of course, I don't know them all by name. And, of course, I didn't recognize because I remember like this. Now, it's a young teenager. Yeah. And he's like, they were just so outgoing and so excited. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, it's just what I call worldly on a level that was unheard of when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And I think that's something because I know we've talked about this at least among our, when we had our employees, this Christmas, you know, at luncheon and things. We have all become conditioned to constantly think about what we should do next, mm-hmm. what we should achieve, right. what we should gain. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think this little community in our own way at least is taking some time to recognize what we are so grateful for. Mm-hmm. So before we start going wishing for more, let's be grateful for what we have. Yeah. And I think all of us are saying in our own way, we're very grateful for Worcester Youth and Family Services.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I will add, too, that the working relationship that we have with the town and Ms. Allen is exceptional. You know, if there's anything, we can pick up the phone and call one another and, you know, it gets straightened out if necessary. And, you know, any logistics with the building or the grounds or anything like that is handled right away, very professionally. So I appreciate that part of it, too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Pleasure to meet you guys.
Good. And get that GPS fixed. We'll need it now, but we'll need it
now. You're in the middle of cornfields. It just doesn't. They don't go together, technology.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next on our agenda is a motion 2018-02 for the council to consider a tennis courts contract award for the major renovation of our municipal tennis courts at Stephen Cater Park.
Right. This is a long time coming. You have in front of you a motion with multiple parts, in part because back in May when the project was brought before the council, staff was directed to do everything that it can to scale the project back. The engineer's estimate was $372,000, and the amount of grant money that we had was closer to $236,000. So we worked diligently to do that. We also worked diligently to get some additional grant funding, which we were able to achieve. So the motion you have before you is to award multiple contracts. And we're saying multiple contracts because we broke the project up as in an effort to save money, and that's reduced the cost. And there's also some work that I want to make sure that you and the members of the public are aware of. There's some work in this project that the town staff will be doing themselves, removing the fence and disposing of it. In addition, this is another way that we're trying to reduce the cost of the project. So before you were recommending the award of the contract to Terra Firma in the amount not to exceed $84,798 for the tennis courts construction project, award of a contract to Cunningham Recreation in the amount of $11,738 for the purchase and installation of specified amenities, and those are outlined in the report. Award of the contract to Grasso Fence Company in the amount of $59,838 for the purchase and installation of fencing. And then we're also requesting that the council authorize some additional funding for this project in the amount of $17,614. In the report that you have in your packet, if you turn to page 2, you'll see an itemization of the funding sources that we received, both grant and some contributions from the electric department, as well as the expenses itemized. And towards the bottom, under projected expense, you'll see possible reduction. In here, we've identified a way that you can further reduce the cost of the project if you're so inclined, but this is not something that staff would recommend. The specific reduction here would be elimination of the vinyl coating on the fence. It's not a recommendation to do that because we think ultimately what will result in is a rusty fence around a very nice tennis court, and I think that appearance issue could be a problem. So our recommendation is to go ahead and leave the vinyl coating on the fence. I believe there's some members of the Parks Commission that want to speak to this, and also we've got a representative from DBF if you have specific technical questions on the bid.
Well, and again, as we've mentioned earlier, please identify yourself so that clear for the record. Thank you.
Mayor Williams and Mike Wiley, Chairman of the Berlin Parks Commission. The Parks Commission would like to go on record as supporting the four recommendations as suggested in the staff report dated January 22, 2018. About 18 months ago, we were actually sitting around talking about a rough date to have a ribbon cutting last spring, which the next month we found out that the blacktop was thicker and this caused a lot of the cost overruns. So naturally, everything was put on hold. Outlined in the report are the alternates that were able to be made that resulted in shaving money from that cost. It's projected that with the current funding, it would be necessary to add $17,614 from the reserve fund, which we encourage. One of the alternates in the suggestion for eliminating the vinyl coating on the fence, we feel that this is penny wise and dollar foolish, as Ms. Allen was pointing out. It's going to result in deterioration quicker of the fence. And not only from appearance, if you look at the old fence right now, some of the clips that hold the fencing to the post are breaking through and rusting. So we feel this is, in the long run, the vinyl coating is well worth the investment. We also realize the tennis courts are not as widely used as the walking path or the playground. However, it is a popular part of our park system. The usage may have fallen off some due to the condition of the park of the court itself. However, I feel confident in predicting it will pick up once again if the courts are reconstructed. The old saying, if we build it, they will come, holds true here in my own opinion. In closing, the Parks Commission thanks Mrs. Allen, Ms. Boland, and the various department heads that have put in many hours on coming up with a workable and affordable alternate to the original plan. We also thank you for your serious consideration of this project as recommended in the report. Thank you.
Thank you. If I could add, the Mayor and Council also have a copy of a letter from Patricia Dupendoff,
who's
also on the Parks Commission.
Yes. Ms. Dupendoff is the senior, the oldest, longest serving member of the Parks Commission and very well aware of the conditions of and how the tennis court, the history of it and everything, so takes an interest in it.
I can read it if you'd like me to.
That'd be fine.
Sure. So it starts off, dear Mayor and Council, as a member of the Town of Berlin Parks Commission, I support full financing of the improvements to the tennis courts in Stephen Decatur Park. Through the years, we have seen repairs performed that were not sufficient, leaving the courts in an unsafe, unsightly manner. Watching players attempt to use our facility is less than inspiring. Let's bring these tennis courts up to our standards, and having the work done now, properly, will give the citizens of Berlin many years of maintenance-free use and enjoyment. Nice courts attract players. The potential for classes and competitions will be part of the future of Berlin parks. As we move towards recreational opportunities, this could be a keystone project. Thank you for your consideration, Patricia Dupendoff. And she just asked me to let you know she had a personal situation that prevented her from being here in person tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Mike? And then if you go ahead and just, for the record, introduce yourself.
My name is Josh Taylor. I'm with Davis Bowen and Verdell.
That's what our engineering consultant for the town.
And they were instrumental in working with us on the bid process and trying to help shape
some. Again, it's not just for us, but also for the record and for the press and the public.
Gotcha.
It's one of those things that we sometimes take for granted in a small town, so we're trying to make sure that everybody not only knows what's said, but who said what.
I ran a few meetings, I understand perfectly.
You did. Okay. Does anyone have any questions, comments?
I will say that originally when we first saw the project in May and when it was before us in the budget at $372,000 threshold, that was a little outside of the grant funding and a little scary for us to pull from our general fund. But since staff has done such a great job working with our engineers and trying to figure out where we can trim those costs, I'll make a motion that we move forward with motion 2018-02 to fund the tennis courts in its entirety at the 299-603 with the projected shortfall coming from reserves of $17,614.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Kendall to approve motion 2018-02 for approval of these three contracts at the total $299,603 for what I'll call the complete overhaul and renovation of the tennis courts at Stephen Decatur Park. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Let the record show it's 4-0.
Thank you. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you for your presentation. Okay. Next, we're going to have our departmental reports. The first, again, will be Electric Department Director Tim Lawrence.
Natalie is here now. We originally didn't. She's not on the agenda.
That's okay.
She's not on the agenda.
I don't have anything to
do. You wouldn't use that excuse. You're not on the agenda. I don't know who you are. That's fine. If I'll obviously speak up if anything comes up. Sure. Thank you. All right. Electric Department Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. Some of the big projects, the AGH Cancer Center, last week we installed the transformer in the primary to feed the new cancer center. We actually tested it and tested the meter to make sure it's reading accurately. Right now we're waiting on the electrical electricians that are working inside the cancer center to give us a call to install the secondary from the transformer into the building. So we're waiting on that, which the wire was supposed to come in today. So I expect a call in the next day or so to come back over there. Then also over at Savage Substation, we had an issue with one of our circuit relays over there, and we had to work with Schweitzer Engineering to replace a one of the displays on our relay, which was covered under warranty. So that was done. Also, Ashland Tree Company is doing a lot of tree trimming in the area. You might have noticed their trucks out on Route 113, Bottle Branch Road, West Street, and Esham. Normally, they've done every location except for Route 113 from Germantown Road heading north up to Franklin Avenue. So they have to finish that area.
Just on Route 113 itself?
Yes, on okay. Route 113. They're down at the south end of Germantown Road heading north. So you'll see them out there doing some work. And also, what else was it? Also over at the power plant, we've had a few issues over there with some of the engines, just different issues like fuel line issue, and then we had one of the number one engine had an antifreeze issue, which we have repaired both of those. So they're good to go. Then also at 9948 Main Street, Building 6, which is the new dermatologist building out there at Main Place, we installed the new transformer in the secondary and energized the service to that building. And then also at the new public library, we installed the secondary service, energized it into the building, and set the meter, and they're good to go. And that's it.
I have one question, and if you may have touched on this before, but at least to date, now that we have peak shaving potential in the winter, the last couple of years,
yes.
How much have you had operated on the advice of our consultants?
During New Year's Eve, when it was like 9 degrees, that time frame in there, we had to run at different times, which I think that's like the first time in 12 years that we actually have ran during the wintertime. So we did, we ran, there was potential times that we would have ran from, you know, like 7 in the morning till 9 o'clock in the morning, and then also from 6 o'clock at night up till 9, 10 o'clock at night. The exact amount of times that we ran, I'm not sure off the top of my head, but there were several times that we did run. And then there were several times that we were on standby in case we had to run.
So far the equipment maintenance and so forth hasn't interfered with your ability to do that?
One of the engines we did have an issue with, and that was the number four engine, which was the fuel line. We started getting air into the fuel system for some reason. And in the beginning, we thought it was a underground piping issue with the fuel line, but what we determined is we had to take a temporary, I had a temporary fuel line made up. They have to high press the ends on, and I bypassed the underground pipe and ran it on top of the ground, and then we determined it was actually the fuel meter itself. It was getting air into it, which would cut down on the amount of fuel that the engine had to run. So we got that straightened out. And then also starting tomorrow and Wednesday, Bay Diesel from Virginia Beach area, they're going to be up here installing the after coolers and the new turbos on number two engine. That actually was approved by you a few months back to have that work completed on that engine. They'll be here.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Tim? Next is a report by Police Chief Arnold Allen.
Nothing to report.
Thank you. That's always good news. Not that we don't mind getting reports, but that's not the thing. Next is Planning Director Dave Engelbert.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Like we did at our previous meeting, I wanted to give you an update on the Henry Park restrooms. A little bit better news tonight. The mason was out there today filling the cells with the mortar. He plans to, by Wednesday, have the remaining soil that's inside of the foundation removed. And when I sent the provider of the restrooms, Green Flush Technologies, he had sent an email today, said the ground was still frozen. He was operating on reports from last Friday. And I've been telling the town administrator, Ms. Allen, I check it pretty much every day to see how it's coming along. And it did have ice in it Friday. So he was sending me an email from the West Coast, from I believe it's in Oregon, around noon today, saying it was still frozen, we're still waiting. So I went out this afternoon because I knew I'd want to give you a report. And there's the mason at 2:30 this afternoon. And he wasn't there very long. He probably got there noonish, you know, not West Coast time. So he said, I'm going to finish this today because now it was all melted and the ground was soft, muddy. So he could get in the blocks and fill it up. And he said, I'll get my guy in here to excavate the dirt out of the middle by Wednesday. So I just sent that as a progress report back to Green Flush Technologies when I got back to the office. And he said, well, if that all happens, I can have it there, the building, by Friday. So I'm not promising you that, but at least that first step is there. He could get it delivered any time now if he can make his ducks fall in a row.
We've been
having to keep pushing. Mary and myself have been pushing it quite a bit. It's not for me to determine that. He's supposed to get it here.
Basically, you're saying you're expecting it within the next week or so.
Yes, I would say so.
Especially given the warm temperatures.
If he lines up that delivery.
If the warm temperatures hold.
The building's in southern Pennsylvania. If he lines that up, he just has to have the crane there the same day it gets there, set it down, and then the plumber and the electrician go to work on, you know, what Marvin and Jamie's people put there and what Tim's people put there, just for hook up, and we'd be operational. So,
well, hopefully from Oregon, he'll get the idea that delegation works. If he delegates, it won't be done.
Yeah.
So, good.
And he promised me this afternoon. He called me after the email. He called me about 4 o'clock this afternoon. And I said, you've got to arrange all this. I said, but you're telling me you could have it there by Friday. He said, yeah. I said, just alert me when you're doing it. Yep. So as of 4 o'clock, that's what our plan is. So.
That's a good report.
Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome. That's all I have.
Thanks, Dave.
You're a restroom rider, right?
Can't make a motor.
Thanks, Dave.
we let him cut the ribbon.
Yeah. If he keeps this up, we're going to name it after him.
He can even use it for a
Thanks, Dave.
Next is Economic and Community Development Director Ivy Wells.
I have a number of things, actually. I'll make it quick, though. Tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock at the Berlin Welcome Center, we are having a ceremony for the donation of Mr. Jesse Turner's famous bathtub for the bathtub races, donated by Mr. and Mrs. Baker, who
Frank
were,
and Susan.
Yes. And they were supposed to be here tomorrow for the ceremony, but unfortunately something came up. So they arrived today, and we did a few photos with them next to the bathtub. And then I had a thought, because Mr. Jesse's shop, it was a shoe shop, and the way that the bathtub is presented in the Welcome Center, I'm thinking about offering that as a donation for shoes, and then with Diakonia, and then once the bathtub got full of shoes, and we would call Diakonia and get the shoes, just to keep Mr. Jesse's legacy going. So I was going to talk with Laura about that and see if that was okay.
I think it's a very good suggestion.
Okay.
And it ties in with the presentation earlier. Mm-hmm. We're all here. We have to look for ways to help each other.
Okay. Right. So I thought that would be fitting for that. And then I'm working on the new wayfinding signs. The replacement wayfinding signs will be done in downtown first before the new ones are put up on the outskirts of town. That's going to take a little bit longer working with State Highway, and I didn't want to wait and have them all ordered together. So first you'll see the ones replaced in downtown, and then later on we'll see the ones on the outskirts of town. We're going to do a Valentine's promotion on Saturday, February 10th from 12 to 3, same thing that we did last year. Kids will come to the Welcome Center and decorate their bags, and then they walk around town, and all the businesses and restaurants give out Valentine's Day treats. The businesses are very excited about doing this again. They loved it last year, so we are going to repeat that this year. There's no town services required. I'll be there on Saturday helping the kids decorate their bags.
Now how do kids get involved?
The kids come to the Welcome Center.
How do they find out about it? I'm just interested. How do kids find out that they can be participants?
We're going to have flyers put in the schools again,
okay,
like we did last year. Last year I did mostly social media, and we were overwhelmed with response. So sometimes social media works like that. Well, it works like a charm. I did a Facebook event for it today, and there's already hundreds of people interested in coming to it already.
Excellent. Thank you.
And let's see. Oh, also with Mr. Jesse's bathtub, I did want to say thank you publicly to Dave Wheaton. Dave Wheaton took a lot of time. The bathtub wasn't in the greatest shape, and he fixed it up, put new tires on, painted it, bought a new horn for it. So thanks to Dave Wheaton for doing that. I wanted to make sure that I said that. And for some new businesses reporting, I wanted to give you a report on that. Acre Ruins has closed. They may have closed their shop, but all of their goods will be dispersed at a variety of shops downtown. I think right now we're up to 4, maybe even 5 shops selling a variety of their items.
Good.
And Rainbow Florist, that used to be where the meat market is, they are reopening in Acre Ruins, but they will be called the Burley Florist now.
Is that Linda Palmer?
No.
So it's a different, it's not Rainbow Florist.
It is. It's still Michael. It's still Michael, okay, the original owner.
Yeah, she's told. I'm just trying to say.
She's told three times.
I've been asked that question since that came out in the paper last week, and I said, I don't know.
Right. It's Michael, the original owner of Rainbow Florist, and he's...
The last. The Palmers are
right,
30 years. 30, 40. Maybe 40.
Right.
Okay.
He has a shop in Ocean Pines now, and he's relocating back to downtown.
Okay.
And then Bayside Gazette has left the building. And a new business it's actually a business relocating from Delaware and Selbyville. It's called Addicts of My Life, and they have home furnishings. And then there are several people who are still waiting to hear about where Nest is. Dee's going to do some work from her home. She's going to close her shop. But there's about three people keep calling and asking if Sharon Chandler has made up her mind on who's going into that building. So now I talked to Pat Vorsteg, who was building the mixed-use facility on Gay Street. So now we started a wait list for that, and he and I will be working closely together to figure out what is the best two businesses to go into that spot as well.
Great.
And then I'm on vacation Wednesday next Monday.
You get a vacation?
I'm going to Utah, yes.
Okay. Thank you. Good luck in the Tennessee trip. Does anybody have any questions for Audrey? Okay, thank you very much. Next is Managing Director Jeff Fleetwood.
I have nothing, Mayor.
Thank you. And the town administrator's report.
I just have a few photos to share of the library tour that we went on today. I just wanted to thank Jennifer Rank, the library director, for organizing it, and the staff at Whiting Turner, who were very accommodating as we were, you know, they're busily working and we're trying to stay out of their way. And Ron Cassio of the library board, who suggested it. So these are just some shots. It's really interesting inside, really exciting facility. It's about three times the size of what we have now. And they were giving us every indication that they think it'll open probably sometime this summer.
Yeah, July is the target right now. And Council Tindall and myself were both able to go on the tour. And both Laura and my wife Betsy, who's on the Library Foundation Board. And quite frankly, even though it's impressive from the outside, we get inside, from my impression, it's even bigger than it appears. It's very big. I think it's, from every description given and what you can see so far, it's going to be very classy. There is the meeting room upstairs, facing the back porches, two stories, will accommodate up to 100 people. We will, for the first time, have a public space that will accommodate many people in the history of this community. It's amazing we got this far. So, and it's just, I think it's going to be a real source of pride for everyone. It is, they have thought of every energy efficient way that they possibly could make this building not only efficient, but I think one of the things that impressed us was that based on the design, this building should have a useful life with reasonable maintenance and care of 200 years. So that's amazing.
I would say that touring the new library was impressive. One, from the amount of pre-planning that has gone into the structure, the attention to detail with the grand staircase that they're going to be installing, to just see the different materials that I didn't even know for one existed, come together here in Berlin. It's pretty magnificent. I can't wait to see the finished product.
Very good, thank you. So we're all excited about it. We'll certainly keep everybody posted between the county and the town. And I think it's going to be truly a point of community pride for generations. I don't have any comments for the right. Any comments?
No, sir.
I have a teacher that drops her son off to Stephen Decatur Middle School, and at the turn of Flower Street, leaving the Stephen Decatur Middle School, she's complaining that we have some potholes. Now, I'm not sure if it's on the town or the county, because we meet there somewhere, but kind of check it out and find out, you know, whether it's our problem or the county's problem.
That's good, especially after this severe weather, that's when they tend to pop up.
And this, where she's talking about, is probably one of the worst spots that we had during the snowstorm, where it really elevated, and we were talking about the town, went out and helped the county to clear it up.
Cool.
All right, that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll have
okay, do we have any comments from anyone in attendance tonight that would like to address the council? Come on down.
Well, now that I know I can sign in and talk, that's pretty cool. I'm just kidding. I just have a quick... Jack Orris, Broad Street. I just had one real thing. I was wondering if there was an update on the, and I don't know the proper term, the bike and trail with the upcoming Berlin Falls Park Advisory Committee on Thursday. If there's any news on that, I'd like to just mention it.
Yeah, well, yeah,
to kind of.
Go ahead and certainly pass this on. About a week ago, maybe a little more, since the new year,
okay.
It's been kind of wild and crazy. We've been contacted by the Worcester County Health Department, and they have invited the town of Berlin, and myself have committed, and Laura has committed, and somebody else would like to go. But we just found out, and this is a perfect opportunity to bring this up, so I appreciate it, to attend an informational meeting. What do we call that?
Workshop?
It's a walk workshop. Yeah. I think they call it a walk shop or something like that. But it's through the state. So the state health department, statewide, Maryland State Health Department, is working with every health department in the state. And the three health departments down here, being relatively small, are working together, and they've invited municipalities in each county to attend this workshop. We're very excited because, quite frankly, I'm going to say about 8 years ago, the Grow Berlin Green began a walking initiative and pedestrian initiative and early stages of bicycling, and this hopefully will get us to the next level. So it's not limited. Obviously, Berlin Falls Park, I believe, and just from my awareness of it, will be an opportunity, but this will inform us of opportunities in all kinds of situations to provide, where it's possible, safe and encourage certainly pedestrian walking, but also bicycling. It's booming.
This is the same thing as we're talking about the by the railroad tracks?
No, that's another project.
Okay, that's what I was referring to,
okay,
but that's great news, too.
Yeah, and there we have gotten our grant for the design work. Is that correct?
Correct.
So the design work, like everything else is they
sure.
were talking about today in the library. The design is critical because if they get that right, then everything falls in place from there. But we have funding, and that came from the state.
Dave, you want to give them
yeah.
a
yeah.
yeah, the bike waste program is under the Maryland Department of Transportation. So, yes, it was state funding. We, Davis Bowen Fidel, a different landscape architect, and some of their engineers, different representative than Mr. Taylor, who was here this evening. I met with him about 2 weeks ago. They have already started. They have a concept plan, and we walked the length of the trail.
Which is basically from Ocean City Boulevard to Main Street.
We have an access agreement with the Maryland Delaware Railroad from Route 50 all the way to Evans Road. In other words, the whole 1.8 miles of that distance, we could build a bikeway. The grant that we received for this year and this grant cycle was for design. So the concept is on paper. The surveyors did their surveys and their topography work. And they are now working on the stormwater component. So I'm anticipating, Jack, maybe 10 days, 2 weeks from, it was 2 weeks I met with him,
sure.
that he would have that work to me, and then we would have a more firm concept. He has a drawing. I could show you what he shared with me, but where we had to hop the railroad tracks and stuff, that's what we had to determine, and it was in two specific spots. Otherwise, it was pretty smooth. They found, it should be a much easier build-out than we thought, less dirt, less earth has to be moved than we initially thought, but the finish up the survey and that stormwater work, that'll tell the tale. So I'm waiting for them to finish. So I would say on the design component, if I had to put a number on it, I'd say we're 50-60% done with that. But I don't have anything really to finish product to share with you.
All right, now we can tell a little bit about what will follow as funding is available.
Well, this initial grant was for the design and the concept plan and a cost estimate from the engineers about what it's going to cost to build it. The way I conceived it from the start was to build it in three phases. I don't know if that'll be how we do it, the initial was from Green Falls Park down into the center of town in the library area or the, you know, hop, yeah. Right, Main Street, and then on down to the southern end of town and later into the north end of town. The Bike Ways program likes connectivity. They like to be able to get on your bike and ride from here and go to Salisbury, and then from there go on to Cambridge if you wanted to. That's what they're after for the state. So they love that plan. And this part of it, this $30,000 grant for the design, I'm hoping we're done by the grant cycle for May so I can get some building money, some construction money in fiscal year 19, starting, you know, July 1st. Those funds would probably be announced in the fall and the money available January, February of 2019 if it goes according to their pattern. I haven't even seen the announcement to put in for construction funds yet. But that was the whole idea of this grant. And then submit it and say, here's what we're going to build. Here's our cost estimate. Please fund it with a grant.
Right.
That's what we're after.
Okay.
And this is something the state is promoting, so we're hoping.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think at one point in the presentations we've heard before, these types of things often are for railroads. The track no longer exists. None of that exists.
Right.
Here, we're maintaining that track because there are potential uses for it, and they're compatible. So it's not like a... And that makes it unique, and also, hopefully, if we're successful, as I believe we will over time, gives a lot more communities, places, an opportunity to do something that wasn't even considered possible just a few years ago. So it's another little way that Berlin's trying to lead by example and say, look, just because something couldn't be done a few years ago doesn't mean it can't be done now or in the foreseeable future. So we're very excited about it.
Yeah, everywhere they called it, where they rip up the rails, they call it rails to trails. So from the start, I said, we're going to call this rails and trails.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, that's great. You know, it's the first one of its kind in the state. So, you know, the Bikeways people liked it and the railroad people liked it because they're kind of our partner in it by granting us the access agreement. So they like that too.
Sometimes things are worth preserving as long as they're compatible with the use.
Now, the east-west line, how much do we still have the easement for the old railroad that used to go east to west?
None.
Nothing. That's a shame.
It's a shame, man. It's a shame. It's just a shame. You know, in hindsight, hindsight being 2020, if we had that, Ocean City would be excited, the county would be excited. It's just not going to happen because it would be so costly to get it back. And, you know, but, you know, hey, thank goodness we still have something, you know.
Exactly.
And there's portions of it that can be used, with just small segments, you know, block.
Yeah, there are portions, yeah.
Yeah, portions. So hopefully, you know, who knows what the future will bring. We'll hang on to what we got. Hopefully, maybe in your lifetime, we'll be able to do something about it. I'm not going to stake it on mine.
We're the same age.
I know.
And we have our older brother here.
No, that was it. I just, with the meeting coming up, I wanted to mention it there as well.
Please do. We appreciate it. And we thank you for your participation.
Thanks.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to address the council with questions or concerns? Does anyone from the media have any questions or concerns? Sure.
Move to adjourn.
Okay. And adjourn. And thank you very much for your patience and attendance.
Yeah. 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 Yeah